Woman, what is this concern between you and between me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, so often within our scriptures, when we read the gospel, what we see there is that Jesus is doing some sort of miraculous healing of some sort. But today we have something different. Today we don't see him doing a miracle of healing, but we rather see him doing a miracle of joy. You see, nobody would have thought anything strange about Jesus' actions if he was just attending that wedding as any normal person, saw that they had gone without some wine, and did nothing. But that's not what he did. Jesus did something. He did something which was absolutely in no way necessary. But he did act in order to save a family from experiencing some embarrassment at not having wine for the guests, which he should. So what Jesus does, he doesn't just enter into their joy in some random or some half-stepped way, but he enters into it in a superabundant way. What do we see there? Remember those 6 stone water jars filled for ceremonial washings? Each of them held 30 gallons of water. That's a lot. My math isn't the greatest. Maybe some of you are teachers can figure that out for me, but it seems to me that there must have been at least 180 gallons of wine. Kind of sounds like a party I'd like to be invited to. So he enters into their joy in some sort of super abundant way, not just going halfway, but totally pouring himself out there. And so we, because of this, we begin to feel some of that relief that the family feels at knowing that God has taken care of everything and there will be no embarrassment. But something disturbs us. Something jars our spirit when we hear it. It's a word which Jesus says. And that word is woman. He says woman when his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, turns to him and says, "Look, Jesus, they have no wine." Jesus' response to her is, "Woman, what concern of yours is that to me? That's your thing." Think about that for a moment. Sit in that place. You who are mothers, you who are fathers, think of what you would do if your son or your daughter were to turn to your wife or to yourself and say, "Hey, woman." That'd be a bit offensive. I hope you would tan their hide for doing something like that. But there's something more going on there. You see, the scripture scholars, what they tell us is that it wasn't as offensive to our ears as using the word woman in that respect. In fact, what it really was like, it was more of a formal expression, something of Jesus turning to his mother and saying, like, "Madame," something more formal. But that's still not a way that a son should ever turn toward his mother in this way. It should be something else. Something of greater familiarity, showing more love and deference. And so this, what it does is it jars our spirit, it rubs us wrong, but it causes us to pay attention to something. It brings this out to us in the fore. So it has to have a deeper meaning, like everything within the Gospel of John always has a deeper signification to it. And so what we have to do, we have to go to the next time Jesus uses this word woman. When is that? We have to wait till the very end of the gospel. And there Jesus says it when Mary is standing at the foot of the cross. He turns to her in that beautiful moment when he is dying and gasping his last breath. And he says, "Woman, behold your son." As he at that moment is turning over the care of St. John, the beloved disciple, over to the care of the Blessed Virgin Mary. In that same act, John stands for every Christian who would ever be baptized. He stands in the place of all you and me who would ever become the beloved sons, the beloved daughters of God the Father, the one in whom he is well pleased and who he has promised, no matter what happens, that he will take care of you. This is what is going on in that moment. And so this is rich and rife with meaning. But to understand it fully, we can't even just remain there. We have to go back because this word woman means so much more. We have to go back to the very first time this word is used in the whole corpus of Scripture. Where is that? We have to go to the beginning, right? To Genesis. to the very first chapters of the Bible when God creates man and woman. Out of the dust of the earth, God forms man and breathes his life into him. And then, out of the side of that man, he makes man 2.0 and calls her woman. What happens there? What happens there is this first person who is called woman, the first time we hear this as first woman, what she does is she stands next to her man and then makes this man, leads him into a rebellion against God by sin. What she does is this first woman, Eve, urges the first man, Adam, into an act that places him and all of humanity under the reign of sin and death. But we have to juxtapose that image within the beginning of scriptures to this image we have in our gospel today, which shows us the new Eve with her man standing next to him, the new man, and urges him not only into a simple miracle which saves a family some embarrassment, but what is really going on here is that this new Eve and the Blessed Virgin Mary urges this new man in Christ Jesus himself into an act that urges him to begin his public ministry. That public ministry which will finally end in freeing mankind from the power of sin and death, which the whole human family is enslaved to. An act which makes it possible for the man who knows, who loves, and who serves God in this life, in this present time, in the now, to be able, the ability to be happy with God forever in the next life. In eternal life. And so what we see within our scriptures today, we see that the first Adam and the first Eve, what they do is they, in disobeying, bring about the slavery of sin and death. Yet, that second Adam and that second Eve, through their own obedience, gives life which destroys the power of sin and death over humanity. Brings us to what Steve read for us in that first reading, the prophecy of Isaiah, where he says, before your name was called and your identity was forsaken, abandoned, it was desolation. But now we are the beloved, we are the espoused, we are the one in whom God takes great pleasure and delights. And all of this is possible how? Through Mary. All possible through Mary. So Mary then for us, this woman, is held up for us to ponder today. She's not God. No, she's something great for us. She's not worthy of worship, but what she is worthy of is highest honor. Because she is the fairest honor of our race. The chief intercessor between us and Jesus Christ, her son. Mother Mary is one who always points us directly to her son. That is the sole purpose of her existence. As she lived out within this gospel today, as she says, and turns to the servants, she says, do whatever he tells you. So too, she turns to us. And she says to us, do whatever Jesus Christ tells you to do. And so what I offer you today is two practical meditations, two things which we can do in order to live out the teachings of the gospel today. You see, this intercession in the gospel on the behalf of the couple is merely just the beginning of Mother Mary's eternal ministry of intercession. You see, for nigh 2,000 years, she has practiced this ministry of bringing every soul which ever turns to her and directing them fully to their end, which is Jesus Christ, to bring them always to her son. And so the method I want to give you today is what I call the Mary method. To Jesus, through Mary. You see, I have a friend who taught me this. He's a friend who's a bit older than me, who told me about his father, who is sadly now deceased, who had an advanced degree of Alzheimer's. You know, my friend told me about a story in his life where he was at a moment where his father was repeating a question over and over again, 30 times he repeated it because of this. And when my friend heard this, he was conflicted. He was between tears and laughter. He was between frustration, anger, and great sadness all coming about him at this moment. He thought he was going to burst. And when he found himself about to snap back at his father, what happened to him was something curious. Instead of those words coming against his father, all that passed his lips, "Hail Mary, full of grace." You see, in that short plea, repeating this greeting which the angel Gabriel greeted the Blessed Virgin Mary, which so often passes our lips in our prayer, what he does is this, it's threefold, three actions. He gives his frustration to Our Lady. And Our Lady instantly turns it and hands it over to her most loving son, who then, what he does in that moment is transforms all of it into grace, offering it back to my friend to keep him from losing, to keep him from doing something he wishes that he would not have done. And so what I offer you, my brothers and sisters, is this same tool, the Mary method, to go to Jesus through Mary. So I invite you to invite Mary, our mother, into that space where there is frustration in your life, where there is doubt, where there is worry, where there is anger. That 20 seconds which it takes for those words to be recited into your mind or passed over your lips can keep us from doing something that we don't really want to do or from saying something that we really shouldn't say. That's the first thing. And the second lesson we can take from this is to go back to that second time we hear that word woman passing the lips of Jesus our Lord. It takes us to the foot of the cross, and that is where we need to be. The foot of the cross. Recognize that Mother Mary is the model of true discipleship, always following Christ in every way, always obedient. And there at the foot of the cross, she shows us faithfulness when it's impossible to believe. She shows us hope in the midst of a broken heart. You know, one of the things that I miss about my former parish in St. Thomas Aquinas in Rio Rancho is the fact that every time you walked into the church, the first thing that struck you was behind the altar, the crucifix. But right there, to the very side of Jesus, you would always see the Blessed Virgin Mary gazing fixedly upon her son with great concern. I used to spend hours in front of that, as you see me do here, after receiving the Eucharist at every Mass, pondering what it was that Mary was saying to Jesus. And I think I know. She wants to share the same thing with us. So what Mary says to us is she says, don't lose hope when you're in the midst of a situation which seems absolutely hopeless. She says, don't lose hope. Faith at a moment when everything seems completely unbelievable, incredible. She says, don't lose love when it's almost impossible to maintain charity within the depths of your heart because of the things that are going on. She tells us to remain there with her at the foot of the cross with Jesus, gazing fixedly upon him. Why? Because Mother Mary is the chief disciple of Christ. This word woman is something which jars us and shakes us up in our interior life, but it shakes us up in a very beautiful way. Because it shows us this movement of the new Adam and the new Eve. The movement from slavery unto death and sin unto freedom of new life found only in Christ Jesus. It took us from that forsakenness to that abandonedness into a beautiful espousedness, as beloved sons, as beloved daughters of God the Father. Because ever since that wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, Mother Mary has led souls, every soul, which has turned to her, back to Jesus, her son. And so I invite you in today into that Mary method, to go to Jesus, but through his Mother Mary, to have faith, to have hope, and to have love. Each time you think and feel yourself at the foot of the cross, the answer is very simple. Go to Jesus, but go to him through Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Praised be Jesus Christ.